We have a very special day planned for you. Dr. Renee, who is doing ministry and missions work in, I'm going to say it wrong, Bangalore?
Exactly.
Okay, I didn't say it wrong. Okay, Bangalore in Africa is coming today, and she is going to share her ministry and how the Word of God is impacting people there in Bangalore, Africa. Dr. Renee, please come now, and all of you, please welcome her to this stage with me.
Thank you.
Lord, thank you for this opportunity to share about what you're doing at Bangalore, and I pray that you would help me communicate and tell about how your Spirit is moving there. In your son's name, amen. So this morning we're going to talk about awaken to kingdom reality, and that is the mission theme for the Christian and Missionary Alliance for this 2018-2019 year. So Jesus told some great parables to communicate about the kingdom in Matthew 24 and 25, and the key verse in that is Matthew 24:14, and this. I'm going to read it up here. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world, to the ends of the earth, as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And so what I'm going to talk about is how these parables relate to what we're doing at Bangalore. And to talk about that a little bit, I need to give you a little bit of idea of what we do at Bangalore first to introduce you to that. So where is Bangalore? Bangalore is in Gabon. Gabon is way down here. It's right where the equator, this line here, crosses Africa. And Libamba is down here. We're almost in the Republic of Congo. One other place that I'm going to talk about is this town Iteke. It's right where the road stops in the deep rainforest. And so this is the sign that you would see when you cross the equator, and someone has actually gone to the trouble to paint a line on the road. And there's all different distances that you to go to different places. Since we're in the rainforest, that's an avocado that is, I actually planted the avocado tree. I've been there for about 12 years, and I'm always startled that avocados here in America are so much smaller. There's a river that's right by the hospital, so this is a dugout boat that the people there use to get sand off the bottom of the river that they use for building things. And this is beautiful downtown Libamba, the town that is closest to the hospital. It's about 3 miles away. Those are sheep that are running through the middle of the town, and you can tell that they're sheep because their ears and tails go down as opposed to goats that their ears and tails go up. And I never thought that it was that difficult to tell sheep and goats apart here because sheep have wool, but sheep there don't have wool because it's just too hot. So this is the hospital, and it doesn't look like hospitals here, so it's not like a 10-story building with different things on different floors. The U-shaped building that's in the middle is pediatrics. To one side of that, the building with the green roof is the emergency department. The other building that's next to that is medicine. And then the, let's see, up here, this is the HIV building, and this is surgery. This is the Bangalore Church. This is when we're still building the Sunday school building. The sickest tuberculosis patients are down here, so there's a lot of buildings. I think when we counted, there were about 70 buildings altogether. Most of the missionaries live on this hill that's up there, so there's a lot of running back and forth between all those different buildings. And the next picture is just kind of a diagram that diagrams what all those things are. And that's too small to really see. But the Bangalore facts, and the most important Bangalore fact, I think, is that last year, in 2017, there were almost 1,400 people that decided to follow Jesus at Bangalore. And so that's really exciting. So that picture there is Pastor Michel, and he is one of the chaplains. And each morning before we start the morning, the chaplains get together with the patients, and they share the good news with all the patients that come. And so those patients get a chance to hear the gospel before they start the day. And last year there were about 40,000 consultations. And so those patients, 40,000 of them, got to hear the good news. And really, it wasn't just them. The patients come with their family member. And so probably it was more like 80,000 people that got to hear the good news. So that's really exciting. And we have about 700 to 800 deliveries, about 1,500 surgeries, and we do about 75% of all the cataract surgeries for the whole country of Gabon. So it's a lot is happening there, and you know, with that much sharing the good news, the Spirit is really moving there. And besides that, the other thing that's really is noteworthy for us is that we do teaching. So we are the birthplace of something that's called the PAX Residency Program. PAX stands for the Pan-African Academy of Christian Surgeons, and it's a residency program that teaches African doctors to be surgeons. And this is really important because in Africa, the need for surgery actually kills more people than tuberculosis, AIDS, and malaria combined. So that somebody might need a C-section or an appendectomy, and there's nobody that can do it for them, and they might just die from it. And so these doctors, they will come from a different country, and they will learn how to do surgery, and then they go back to their country. So doctors have come from Mali and from Guinea. Those countries are 99% Muslim, and they learn surgery, and they go back to their country, and they'll work, and they'll be not just surgeons, but PAX has a discipleship component, so they're going to be spiritual Christian leaders in their hospitals and communities. Also the Democratic Republic of Congo, and just to give you an idea, these are the places, so 12 places in 8 different countries now. The other things, just this guy right here, he just finished the program in June and went back to Burundi in July. To the best of our knowledge, he is the 14th Burundian surgeon in Burundi. Burundi has 10 million people. And so we're in the midst of, there's 5 guys currently in the program. 2 of the others are from Burundi. They shall probably be 15 and 16. Wow. So in addition to training surgeons, we also train eye surgeons. We train nurse anesthetists, nurse midwives, and regular nurses. And I've left that blank on the bottom because one of my other dreams is to train primary care doctors, because in most of Africa, primary care doctors just have 6 months of training after medical school, and then they're sent to be the regional doctor, and they just, okay, you're it, you get to be the doctor in the provincial capital. And 6 months really isn't enough. So those are some pictures of our nursing students and one of the ophthalmology training. So what do I do? First of all, I'm the medical director. I take care of the adults in the hospital, and I supervise the care of the outpatients and the adults in the emergency department. So when I say supervise, there are 5 nurses that do the primary care of the outpatient adults and the adults in the emergency department. So those are 3 of the nurses, and there's 2 others who aren't in the picture. And so these nurses will see the patients, and they have protocols that they follow to treat them. And if it's something that they can treat, then they treat them. If it's something that's outside the protocol, then they come find me and ask me questions. So I spend a lot of time with those nurses, helping them to treat the patients better, and we meet once a week to try to learn new things. Besides that, I'm the director of the HIV and the tuberculosis program. I particularly follow the children with HIV. I take call for pediatrics, and I also teach Sunday school. So that's just a little bit of an idea of what I do particularly there. So just some pictures of that. There's doing rounds in medicine, a patient getting a blood transfusion in the emergency department. These are some of the people, some of the patients and their caretakers with tuberculosis, and we have a really big problem with tuberculosis there. And we are one of only 8 places in the whole country that can treat multi-drug-resistant tuberculosis. So these are some of the multi-drug-resistant patients. These are some of the kids with HIV, and these are some toys that they have that people in America sent to us for them. And let's see, can we play a video with this? I don't know if there's a little, if the sound guys can help, but for Sunday school in July, we got Operation Christmas Child gifts, and there's a, I don't know if I can do it here or if you can do it back there. Down in the bottom, there's a little arrow on this. And there's a 30-second video in the right, like in the bottom corner of that slide. And so the slide will talk if you can figure out how to. Well, the kids will say thank you if we can figure out how to do it, but no, okay. Well, those are some other kids in Sunday school with their Operation Christmas Child boxes that we just got in June. And then Sunday school usually has about 150 to 180 kids. I usually teach the bigger kids. That you can kind of see that those were bigger kids in the picture. We finally have a building to put them in, so we used to meet in waiting areas around the hospital, and so you can imagine that having that many children in a waiting area around the hospital with potentially sharp objects and the sick people wasn't good. So this is what it looked like when we had to go from the waiting area at the hospital over to the church with that many children. But one of the perks of having Sunday school by a hospital was getting to use patient gowns and receiving blankets and rolled bandages for props. So, finally, after the introduction, wake up to kingdom reality. So, Jesus used parables to explain some of the realities of the kingdom of God. And so he talked about always being ready, always be investing, and always be serving. And so, always be ready. The parable, he talked about 2 parables for that. So he talked about the thief in the night and the 10 virgins. So the thief in the night, he talked about that the kingdom, that when God comes back again, it'll be like a thief in the night. Nobody will know when it is, so you gotta be ready. And the story that I have about always being ready is the story of Bayonne. And he was a sick kid that I took care of, and it was one of those days that at the hospital that the pediatrician and I had been doing CPR on a little girl. She'd had malaria that had attacked her brain. And we were not successful. So she had died. Her mother was wailing outside the office. And there were a number of other people that were in the adult outpatient area. So there was a man with chest pain that really needed a cardiac catheterization, and we can't do cardiac catheterizations. There was a woman with really bad HIV. There was an x-ray that I'd seen for a man that the tuberculosis had completely eaten away one of his lungs. All those people were waiting for me, and that was the day that Bayonne had decided to come back. And I'd seen him once before, and I knew that he was a kid with really bad heart disease. And his heart disease was from rheumatic fever, so it's a kind of strep throat infection, but the strep throat attacks the heart valve. And that day he'd had a lot of trouble breathing, and I'd started a treatment and asked him and his mom to come back, and they said, we can't, we don't have any money, it's not possible. And I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have money from the hospital benevolent fund to pay for your visit, and I'm personally going to pay for your transportation back home. So you come up with just money to get here, and we'll take care of the rest. And so he'd come back this day. It wasn't even the day that he was supposed to come, and he was late, so I knew that he'd already been out of medicines for several days. But here he was. They'd taken initiative to get here. So I was seeing him, and while I was listening to his heart, which there's this really huge murmur, my eyes fell on his shoes. And his shoes were way too small. And it was like while I was listening to him, there was like this voice in my head that said, no, look at his shoes. And his shoes, they couldn't have been his shoes. They were much, much too small. And look at his shoes. And I realized that, no, he'd had to borrow shoes from another kid or somebody else in order to get there. And this was probably going to be my one chance to talk to him about what was really important, because either his heart was going to give out or he wasn't going to have money to get back another time. So in the middle of everything, I stopped and asked, do you know Jesus? And he said no. And in Gabon, a lot of people will just say yes, and then you have to kind of tease out what they mean. And so I had the wordless book, which is a thing that has colors that kind of explain the Bible, the gospel story. And so there's one page that has gold color for heaven has streets paved with gold. And when I showed him that, his face just lit up. He was so excited about it. And there's a black color for that our heart is black from sin, and red for Jesus gave his blood, and white that we can be made clean. And he was just so happy about this. And so when I asked him if he wanted to pray, he, like a lot of people, like they need me to pray and then he can pray. He just wanted to pray himself. He was so ready. And so the point is that, like, when the Holy Spirit said no, look at his shoes, I needed to be ready and just stop and do it, because he was ready and the Holy Spirit had made him ready.
Amen.
And so that's the church in the village that he comes from. And I had that picture on my phone because I'd been there for something with Sunday school. So I showed him the picture of it. And he's like, yeah, that's... So I showed him where he could go to church. And while I had my phone out, I took his picture. So always be ready. Always be investing. The parable Jesus told about that was about the talents. So there was a master that he gave one servant 5 talents and one 2 and one. And the person that got the 5 talents invested it and got back 10. And the person with the 2 talent invested it and got back 4. And the person with 1 just buried it and only could have 1 at the end. And the master was really pleased with the people that invested it and got back more, but was not pleased with the person that just buried it. And so the first thing I thought of with that, with always be investing, was Nellie and Grace. So Nellie, I first met her when she was a senior in high school. And at first, she was helping me to learn some of the local language. And so she didn't pass the last year of high school that first year, but the she tried again, and the second time I taught her English and helped buy a couple philosophy books that she needed, and she got that, and I've helped her to buy some food and things like that in college, and so she has gone to college in the capital city, and she didn't get a job right out of college, so she continued on and got her master's degree, and so just July 14th, like 2 months ago, she defended her master's thesis. And then there's Grace, and Grace is one of my patients, and she lives in a small village. And so for Grace, she showed me her report card at the end of elementary school that said she did well and she would do well in high school, but there's no high school in her village. And so she has a sister that lives, she's an orphan, she has a sister that lives near Bungalow, And her sister said that she could stay with her, but her sister couldn't afford to pay school fees and for a uniform and all that kind of stuff. So I helped out Grace, and now Grace has just completed her first year of high school. So that was the first thing I thought about. But then I thought about the story of Ateke. So that one picture there is the road to Ateke. And so when that verse talks about like this kingdom of the gospel will preach to the ends of the earth, Ateke is at the ends of the earth. It's where the road stops in the rainforest, if you think that's a road. And so Edmund was from Ateke. That's the little guy in the picture. And both Edmund and his dad decided to follow Jesus at the hospital. And for Edmund's dad, Mark, that was a big change. And he used to have a really bad temper. And so there was a little group of people that decided to follow Jesus in Ateke because they saw the change in Mark's life. And so after that, there was an evangelist, so just kind of a guy that likes to talk about Jesus, that came to Ateke. And then there was another guy who was a lay pastor and for this little group. And the lay pastor, I took care of his daughter, Karen. That's Karen, in the hospital. And while Karen was in the hospital, Karen's mom, Honorine, there, she asked me if I could help them. And I'm like, help you? How? And she said, paint. Paint? Really? And so they were meeting in a building that had been an abandoned garage for a Belgian gold mine from the 1930s. And there was graffiti and things in it, and so they wanted some paint. So Izzy and I brought them some paint, and so you can see kind of like the stalls for the equipment for the gold mine. And so that's when we first went out there, and there was maybe like 30 or so people then. And so over the course of a couple years, we brought them some plastic lawn chairs, and we brought them some Bibles. And most of the folks there had never had like an Old Testament before. And what I learned going out there was if we were coming, they would say, and our speaker today will be Dr. Renee. And so the time that we brought them Bibles, I talked about something from Habakkuk. There's Habakkuk 2:4 says, and the righteous will live by faith. And that gets repeated at least three times in the New Testament to show them that the Old Testament and the New Testament work together. And so there's one young woman that decided to follow Jesus from Habakkuk. Who knew? So anyways, now there's over 100 people there, and we brought the money for cement for the floor. And the Gabonese church has decided to send this guy, Pastor Michel, and as a fully trained pastor, because we invested in stuff like paint. Wow. So the last thing, always be serving. The parable Jesus talked about for always be serving was the sheep and the goats, which is he divided up people, the goats on one side, the sheep on the other side, and he said to the sheep, good job. When I was in prison, you came and visited me. When I was naked, you gave me clothes. When I was sick, you helped me. And the sheep said, when were you in prison? And Jesus said, when you did it to the least of these, it was to me. And so who is like the least of these? And so some of the least of these might be premature babies that can't breathe. And so a few years ago, we rigged up a system to help premature babies that can't breathe with something called CPAP, which is kind of like for like adults with sleep apnea. It gives continuous positive airway pressure. But when we first did it, it was with a Coke bottle. And Shekinah, this baby was one of the first babies we did it with. And here he is in June, July with his Operation Christmas Child present. Now we have an actual CPAP machine that is much better. And this is just something that, like, in Gabon, we get to see miracles sometimes treating people in the hospital that we don't, like, when I practiced medicine in America, I didn't get to see this. So this baby was back in May that he was on the CPAP machine already. It wasn't helping. I told his parents, I've done what I can do. It's up to God now. And after I said that, it was like flipping a switch that, like, his heart rate came up, his oxygen came up, and so miracles like that are really cool. So that's some of the ways that these kingdom realities, we get to see them there. And it's not just for us in Bangalo. So always be investing, always be serving, always be ready. You all have those days here, and that's how it works for me there in Africa, but you have those days here. How can you always be ready? And how can you be serving? It's not necessarily with a baby who's sick, but you can always be serving. How can you be investing? So how can you apply that for you? So you can think about that. There's some other things that I can point out. Back in the back, there's some prayer cards. You can pray. There's papers with Bayonne's story back there. There's a place that you can sign up for my prayer letter, so you can hear more about what's going on in Gabon. There's ways that you can get Alliance Life that tells more about what's happening in missions in the world. And the other thing is that I get to be in Africa because of something called the Great Commission Fund. So the Christian Missionary Alliance sends lots of missionaries around the world by you guys, by people in churches in America that give to the Great Commission Fund. So this brochure I found in the back out there when I came in that tells about how the Great Commission Fund works. So if you give to the Great Commission Fund, that's what keeps me there. You can do that by like reading this brochure, giving online, all that great kind of stuff. So there's more picture there. The obligatory missionary sunset picture. Anyways, thanks a lot, and bless you.
Stay right here. We want to pray for you. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a delight to hear about the work in Bangalo, and to know that in some small way here, we have a part of that, and to know that in some big way in heaven, we have a part of that. We thank you for Dr. Renee and for the calling you've placed on her life. We thank you for the work that she's doing there. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the number of people that have been touched for the sake of the kingdom of God through the gospel that they share as they work to heal their bodies. We pray, Lord Jesus, for her and for the wisdom and for the miracles of healing that go above and beyond what they do. Lord, there is no way that we can think of, at least that I can think of right now, that we can get enough money there to supply all the medical supplies needed to take care of all the medical needs that they face. And I pray, Father, that you would give them a spirit of faith and a gift of healing, that when they run out of medicine and when they run out of the ability to do what doctors can do, that you would heal people there, and that word of Jesus Christ and the power that he has to heal not only souls but bodies would actually increase the work of the kingdom in that place. So we bless Dr. Renee and her staff and her team and all of those missionaries in Bangalo. We ask your blessing upon them. We pray that you'll provide for them all of their needs. We pray that you will protect them from the evil one. We pray that you will strengthen them for the work that you've called them to do. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus and for the sake of his kingdom. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Renee.